3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Oh my gosh, yeah. It's always fun dealing with things like, oh, I don't know, CVS and Ashland. Good Lord. That's all I'm going to say. All right, I'll say this before I get to Joe Moreno. Maybe there's a major lawsuit in this. Text Jeff. Here's your prescription ready. Come pick it up. Get to the counter. Jeff, your prescription expired yesterday. We can't sell it to you. But it's in the bag, ready to go, and you literally just texted me. No. Well, yeah, here's the text. All right. Now, as I bang my head against the wall, maybe I can... Can I sue for some sort of damages to my head? I don't know. All right. Joe Moreno is the smartest lawyer on God's green earth. And if anybody can figure out some way to litigate the matter, I guarantee it's him. Former federal prosecutor handling way more important cases than something stupid like that. But he is with us. Counselor, thank you for being here.
Jeff, happy to do it. And glad to give you the friend's discount, by the way, and any litigation needs you might have.
Excellent. Oh, I love this. A discount. This is perfect. This is perfect. Can I sue them as I bang my head against the wall out of frustration?
I wouldn't recommend banging the head, but yeah.
All right. Well, I'll deal with customer service. That'll be a more pleasant experience slightly, I suppose. What's the deal right now with these district court judges? Nobody is paying attention, Joe. They keep ruling against the president. What is going on?
I think this is a continuation of what we've seen the last few months, okay. That each time the Supreme Court or another appeals court slaps them down, they just keep doing it again. And I think that any sense of reputational harm that I think existed historically, where judges really did not want to get overturned on appeal, mm-hmm. because it obviously impedes their record, I don't think they care anymore. I think that they get their few minutes of fame. I think they get their name in the headlines. And no matter how ridiculous, no matter how it's absurd some of these rulings are, they go ahead and do it anyway, probably knowing full well they'll get overturned, and they don't care. So whether it's trying to stop the president from conducting business in the executive branch or trying to force Congress to fund things that it doesn't want to fund, even though Congress clearly has the power of the purse per the Constitution, these judges are pretty shameless.
Jeez. I would be embarrassed, Joe. I would just be embarrassed. But my thought is that they are so ingrained in these insular, I'll just say it, left-wing communities. They're at the right cocktail parties with the right people who say, hey, that a boy, good work standing up to Trump.
You know, you could give me any issue as a judge, right? And I can find a way to get to the result that you want, right? And I could even do it with a straight face. Wow. Now, it doesn't mean that's the right argument or the right conclusion, but I could find a way to sort of, you know, back into it. And I think that's what we're seeing. I think the judges know what end result their side of the political aisle wants, and so they will twist themselves into pretzels, if necessary, to get there. And again, knowing full well they will get overturned, and they really don't have any concern about that anymore, like they did historically.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like having baseball cards, right? It would be on the back, and here's your percentage of being overturned, and that doesn't look good. You need to make the All-Star Judges team or something. So, is there a way to handle this other than saying, "Okay, here we go again, headed back to the Supremes"?
No. I think that remember, judges have a somewhat unique status in that they are appointed and confirmed for life. There's no, they don't get fired for poor performance or making bad decisions or getting overturned on appeal. The only way to remove them, other than, of course, if they resign, is to impeach them, which is sort of like impeaching a president. It's extremely rare and really is only utilized in cases where a judge maybe commits a crime. So stealing or something or a physical crime, it's very rare. So there's really no consequence for doing a bad job. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, as someone who has practiced before both state and federal judges, they're very much held in esteem. They get nothing but deference in the courtroom. They have a small little army of clerks that they select from the top law schools. And they're really treated like kings and queens. And I think I think at some point it sort of goes to their head. Yep. That they know best. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really matter what the Constitution or the law says. They're much more end result oriented. Mm-hmm. So therefore, again, they pick the conclusion that they want, and then they find a way to argue how to get there.
You know, it doesn't inspire a lot of confidence in our system, Joe. I've never been in front of a judge like that on that sort of matter. But boy, it's terrifying to think that that's the case.
Well, I think the Supreme Court did the right thing in slapping back the nationwide injunction scam. Okay. Although it's not perfect fix, because there's still the class action loophole that we've already seen some judges apply. But what I think also has to be addressed, which has not been, is the forum shopping. The idea that you can go, you can choose a jurisdiction where you get a sympathetic judge, and now you ask for a class action case, basically, to be given status, and you go with that. Mm-hmm. And so it's we're halfway there. I think we have to go further, though, and really tie an issue to one particular jurisdiction. Yeah. So typically where someone lives, or someone works, or an issue is being actively litigated, but not be able to have a case in New York and find some federal judge in New England or even California who's willing to step in. Yeah. I think that's really got to be nipped in the bud still.
Joe Moreno is joining us, former federal prosecutor, smartest lawyer on God's green earth. So who would do that? Is that the Supreme Court, or is that Congress that sets those sorts of rules?
Well, it's unclear, believe it or not. And I don't think Chief Justice Roberts is going to make it any clearer. He has not shown any interest in reining in the judiciary. So I think he could do it, arguably. I don't think he will. And I think you'd look to Congress, and Congress, after all, does create the federal judicial system below the Supreme Court. So the Constitution only creates the Supreme Court. Everything else is created by Congress. So all the districts and all the numbers of seats and the circuits and all that are all set by Congress. And Congress does have the power to limit their jurisdiction and limit their scope of the kinds of cases and where their cases can be litigated. And so, for example, Congress took away a significant part of the federal court's ability to govern immigration cases. Doesn't mean they won't try, but a typical illegal alien does not get to walk into federal court and litigate his or her case. There's a whole separate immigration court system that actually is part of the Justice Department. And they really only get to go to actual federal court if they have a real significant constitutional question, which is pretty rare. Most of these cases are pretty routine. So Congress already has taken certain issues off the table for federal courts. So they're the ones that really could tighten the rules, that could really kind of set them down a straighter path and say, this is what you can and can't do. Now, of course, it has to be done by statute. You have to get 60 votes in the Senate, which is near impossible these days to do. Mm-hmm. So it's not an easy ask, but it is possible.
Okay. Interesting. Did you have a chance to look at this decision coming out of, I guess it's Houston, the Fifth Circuit, where they have just said that Joe Biden and the folks who had sued Ken Paxton, the attorney general down there, totally wrong. The one judge, James Ho, right out of the box said that mail-in ballots are just not safe, secure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It looks like a big win for voter ID and things like that.
It does. And so this is going to be an issue that keeps coming up. right? The voter ID and the states that keep fighting back against it. Mm-hmm. We have a hybrid system, obviously, with elections, where you have elections for federal positions like president and vice president and senators and congressmen. Right. But the rules for how the election works logistically is left to the states. So whether or not they ask for ID and whether they have early voting and whether they allow voting by mail and all that stuff is a state by state issue. Mm-hmm. The feds can get involved at a high level. So, for example, there has been talk about federal ID requirements, but they can never seem to get past Congress. And so victories like this will pave the way, but it's really going to be up to states and Congress if they want to set a electoral process that voters can be confident in. I mean, my understanding is if you try to show voter ID in California on election day, they sort of close their eyes and say, no, I don't want to see it. That's how far gone they've gone in some states where they are just absolutely against showing ID for something that, frankly, is one of the most important things we do as citizens, is exercising our right to vote. Yeah. So to say we not only don't require but don't even want to look at ID, it's such a bizarre thing.
Joe, when we lived in Massachusetts, it was like that. I can remember the first time I went in there, I just assumed you showed ID. They acted like I kicked them in the shins. How dare you show us an ID? No interest at all. And again, like we had done something wrong because Heidi and I went in to vote together. We had done something wrong by having our ID present. And I thought, I don't know, well, then give me three ballots. I mean, there are no limits, right? And you don't care who's voting. What the heck? It was nuts.
And I've yet to hear a good argument against why ID would be required. I mean, you get the same sort of tired things like, well, some people don't have access to ID, or what if someone forgot their ID at home and therefore lost their ability to vote? I mean, it's very weak. Yeah. Most states have provisional balloting so that if you do forget your vote, your ID, you can cast a provisional ballot, go home, get your ID, follow up, and then your vote counts. That's a very reasonable process to put in place.
Right.
But it's the sort of condescending point that some groups of people aren't capable or smart enough to get identification. I don't know who those people are, but mm-hmm. that always seems to be the refrain.
It's just nuts. Hey, Joe, I always enjoy having you here. I know my listeners are always thrilled to have you here, but it's not just here. You're everywhere, it seems. And what's the best way for everybody to stay on top of where you are, what you're writing, things like that?
Yeah, I write a lot for The Spectator. I'm on BBC News a lot, helping to educate our international audience about how we do things here in America. In some pretty positive times right now. So, and I love the feedback. So please don't hesitate to give me the good or the bad.
Well, it's been all good thus far, Joe. I always appreciate you being here, my friend. We will talk again soon. That is Joe Moreno, former federal prosecutor. Absolutely brilliant, brilliant attorney. And I love the way he breaks stuff down. I really do. Now, you may be assured that Joe can speak lawyer, right? But that's the thing I always take away from these conversations. He knows the vast majority of us are not actually practitioners of the dark arts, and so he has to speak in pretty clear English, and boy, he does a great job just breaking it down so that even I can understand it. Nice bite-sized pieces. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Rich Herrera will be breaking it down into bite-sized pieces. Please make sure you are listening to Richmond's Morning News. That is tomorrow, starting at 6 a.m. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.